Mic check.
Next, I'd like to introduce...
Throw your hands in the air if you's a true player.
This is Sheeman and Shepherd.
That boy is good.
Good and terrible.
You shut your mouth.
I think you two dudes are going to become real homies.
Where do we find these guys?
Oh, man, I hate those guys.
This is Sheeman and Shepherd on ESPN Southwest Florida.
Greetings and salutations, friends of Southwest Florida. Another spectacular day out there. Thank you for tuning in here. Sheeman and Shepherd. I am Craig Sheeman along with Pete Shepherd. Chris on the other side of the glass. Good to have you with us here today on ESPN Southwest Florida. Lots going on. It is a hump day Wednesday already. We get through today, baby. It's all downhill. Lots to go on here. Pete's Red Sox got screwed last night in the ninth.
Yeah, but they couldn't help themselves by going 0-for-9 with runners in scoring position either. But it's more, I'm about the integrity of the game. And the integrity of the game was damaged last night for the Astros and the Red Sox because of Laz Diaz, who has no business even being an umpire. He's rated one of the lowest umpires in Major League Baseball, has been for a long time. I don't know how he gets a gig like that. And I don't know how you miss 23 missed ball strike calls. 12 for the Red Sox, 11 for the Astros. They got screwed too. And the J.D. Martinez strike three was even worse than the non-strike for the Eovaldi call. But the Astros got screwed too. And they also, like I said, they went 0-for-9 with runners in scoring position. So it's just that an umpire should never be the focus of a baseball game. And Laz Diaz, once again, is because he sucks.
Wow. How do you really feel about it? I didn't even get my opening spiel out. Pete is fired up. You should be.
I'm upset for both teams.
You should be fired up. It's horrible.
You shouldn't have an umpire affect a game like that and be that inept for both sides.
According to Jeff Passan, he did a strike pitch chart. There were 23 missed calls by the home plate by Diaz last night.
Yeah.
13 on one side. And
12
on one side, 11 on the
other. 11 on the Astros.
But the game was tied at 2, and a third strike that would have got you out of the inning was missed, and then the 7-run explosion.
Yeah, and no guarantee the Red Sox won. It's not even about that, because the one earlier in the game on J.D. Martinez was even worse, was way worse. Way out of the strike zone, and he called it. But the Astros had a few, as you said, 11, but that didn't go their way either. It was horrible. It was horrible on both sides. I don't know how Major League Baseball, and the guy is, if the guy had this type of rating in the NFL, he would never even become close to a playoff game. Never.
The overhead shot of the, that would have been a third strike, I mean, it wasn't even painted the corner. The entire ball was inside the outer edge of the plate, from what my opinion.
Mine too. Most
dab strike, no problem. No, I mean it just.
And
totally
ESPN bad. Stats Info has all the stuff. And even if you know the other analytic part of it, well, it was like a 23% that.
I didn't get that stat. I saw it. I don't understand why.
And whatever. It's. It should have been called a strike. But the J.D. Martinez one, where Alex Cora almost got ejected in the third inning, was way worse.
Yeah.
Than that. But like I said, they kind of knew it. But they overgot there by hook or by crook.
You know, that's a silver lining. The seven-run explosion got you your over.
Once it got to hits in a row, it was like 5-2. I'm like, go for it. You know, let's just end this. Let me get some shekels out of it anyway. And I did. You had the Dodgers earlier. Half of your people, your used-to-be people, left Chavez Ravine in the seventh inning?
Dodgers.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, a lot of Dodgers missed Kirk Gibson's famous home run in 88 as well. They left early.
It was like the end of the Red Sox game when it's 8-2, 9-2. I get it, you know, but seventh inning, you're down by 3 with that lineup? Yeah. I'm staying. You're paying LCS tickets?
Yeah.
I'm not leaving unless it gets, you know, maybe 6-7 runs.
I know it. I know the crowd. They're finished with the last beer. They're like, we're down. We're going to go down 3-0. Let's beat traffic. Let's get out of here. And that's what most of them did. Shameful. Absolutely shameful. Nonetheless, that is our beginning here on a hump day Wednesday. We have a lot coming up on the show here today. Don't forget, you can follow us on our app. It is free if you want to download it, ESPN Southwest Florida. Our website, ESPNSWFL.com. You can go back in time there and listen to Best of Sheeman and Shepherd podcast. Follow us on Twitter at ESPNSWFL. And you can follow me on Twitter at Craig ESPN. You can follow Pete Shepherd at PSHEP326. Our phone number and Stony Brook Golf Club text line, 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. On the show today, in addition to the baseball playoffs, the NBA started last night, if you care about that.
We'll have ESPN did.
Yeah, well, yeah, they did.
Their lead this morning. With all the great baseball stuff going on and between NFL and college football, of course they lead with two crappy basketball games.
Yeah. We'll get to that. I have some observations. I did watch a lot of basketball.
The best part of it was the TNT pregame show. Absolutely hysterical. Chuck and Shaq and comparing. Shaq says he's better than Wilt Chamberlain. And it was just a hysterical discussion in the pregame show on TNT.
They're also rightfully hard on Ben Simmons for being an idiot.
Yep.
I haven't. Did you guys by any chance see the in-between games on TNT?
No, I didn't. No, I did not.
I want to know if somebody. I haven't been able to see a replay of this anywhere because I saw it. I couldn't believe it, and maybe it was not PC, but Shaq handed across the desk for Charles. He said, "Here, Charles, this is for you." I think it was a tampon. I think it was. But I can't. You would think that would be all over Twitter or something. I don't know if anybody else noticed it. They said, "Here, this is for you." And Charles, to his credit, just kind of ignored him, but he kind of flung a
wow.
I mean, it was you know, packaged up and all that. It was hard to tell
because they were going at it in a funny way during the pregame with comparing centers and you know, Kareem and Shaq and you know, Shaq was just being Shaq and Kenny and Charles were ganging up on him and Ernie's just sitting there trying to fit in somehow, some way. He had a couple of witty lines. It was really funny. Yeah. So maybe something escalated at halftime of the Brooklyn game.
Because I didn't see that.
I didn't see it. Yeah.
And that was funny. Yeah. Let's put it this way. Shaq was very pleased with himself and thought he was funny. John Meter Perrell will be on the show at 3:30. We'll talk some ACC football with him. We've got Wikipedia later on in the show. And also Wednesday Wisdom as we kind of bring it down to a nice soft landing at the end of the day with a fun segment. The Sheeman & Shepherd cash grab is active right now. The word is worth, W-O-R-T-H. What are you worth? Text that in 45911 and you could be worth an extra $500 by 2:15. See what I did there? That's pretty good. With that as our backdrop, I see a former MLB-er is on the text line. Yeah, like your thoughts on that umpire last night, too. Chris, how are you today over there on the other side of the glass? What's going on?
Good.
That's it?
Yeah.
Good. It's like you made a field goal. Good. Extra point.
Yeah.
Good.
All right.
Nice night last night. I sat outside, and I drank by myself last night. So I was, I was.
What happened? Party of one? What happened?
Flask?
No. Everybody went to bed kind of early, and I was just sitting outside, and it was...
Well, you gave the warning in the show to Sam, your wife.
Oh, yeah. You did.
Well, she popped her head out at like 7:45 and was like...
Things were just like, heating up then.
What's the deal tonight? And I was like, well, I don't know.
NBA's on now.
She's like, Dodgers. So you're cool if I go to the bedroom and do yoga and go to bed? I said, yeah, go for it. So I went. I packed a cooler.
Yeah.
Threw six... fresh IPAs in there.
Yeah.
And sat outside, didn't finish all six, got through five of them.
Right. Good effort.
It got me nice and buzzed.
Yeah.
No doubt about it.
It was a lovely night to be outside, almost full moon, perfect weather.
It was very nice.
Because walking from your lanai to your refrigerator is a whole, like, 50 feet.
Yeah, maybe 50 feet.
You get some cardio in, you could burn off a beer doing that.
So you're out with all the animals last night.
Yeah, it was a nice night. Nice night.
What a nice night.
Is that screened in or is it an open patio?
Yeah,
screened in. You're screened.
So like if you hear some creepy crawlies coming out of that woods back there, you're not sweating it. You're good. You're protected by screen.
No, there was an incident maybe two years ago. We had a little black bear issue.
I remember that.
The black bear wasn't little. Uh-huh. It was just a little issue that involved a black bear.
Did you actually see it?
I did not. My wife did, and our neighbors did.
Wow. Well, Pete Shepard can outrun a bear. I don't know if you know that.
For 20 feet.
For 20 feet, he can outrun a black bear.
And then after 30 feet, the bear's going to have lunch.
Oh, by the way, did he do the rundown yet?
Not yet.
I have to get this non-sports thing off my chest and after you get done.
Okay. All right.
Because once again, the entertainment business has poisoned us and sort of half Jedi mind tricked me, and I don't like it. And this would be the second thing in the last 2 weeks that I've hated.
Oh, wow.
Oh, let's get the breaking news sounder ready for that, because Pete never hates anything. He watches and loves all TV, with one exception and now two exceptions. Time now at 10 minutes past the hour for our first SportsCenter rundown of the day, ladies and gentlemen. Here's Chris.
Baker Mayfield will not play tomorrow night for the Browns. He's dealing with his left shoulder injury, slightly torn labrum. Backup Case Keenum will get the start against the Denver Broncos. Former Washington State head coach Nick Rolovich will be suing the university for illegal termination in part of discriminatory and vindictive behavior by athletic director Pat Chun. An attorney representing Rolovich said earlier today. And tonight on ESPN Southwest Florida at 7:30, NLCS Game 4, Braves at Dodgers.
I have a quick thought about Rolovich. I support him in his lawsuit because I'm anti-mandate. Not anti-vax, but anti-mandate. But I will tell you, because I pay attention to this stuff, most lawsuits of this nature, of this ilk, have gone in favor of the employer, not the employee, that they can throw down the mandate.
I don't get why the AD is the one that's being sued here. This is a state mandate put out by the governor. The AD, doesn't have anything to do with
is
it.
Is he the only one? He's not the only one being sued, right? He's suing the school. I know.
The article says he's suing the university because of discriminatory and vindictive behavior by A.D. Pat Chun.
Yeah, which, as you said, is mandated
by
the state of Washington.
So I guess you're suing the university,
And Chun's comments were
Sue the governor if you want, then.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't – but I guess if you're suing the school that's part of the state, I don't know. But I know that,
this is going to be worth paying attention to.
Yeah. He also said his exemption because he's a devout Catholic faith that was denied by the university.
A lot of people are very lax on the religious. If people are claiming religion, it's, a lot of people are like, okay.
Is that something in the Catholic community?
If he's touting his Catholic faith, there is a strain of the vaccine that used parts of aborted fetuses.
Okay.
And so that's what that
– okay.
That's my understanding.
Yeah. Okay. No, you're correct, I think.
So that's where people go religious exemption. All right, Pete, you had something very TV related here.
I didn't realize we talked about Halloween Kills, which is in the movie theater right now. I didn't realize I get Peacock and part of my Xfinity package and get it for free. So the movie was, I watched it this morning after I did all my prep for the show. I'm going to invest this hour and 45 minutes to see if this SOB finally dies. And the whole time I'm thinking, he better decapitated because everything they've done, they've burned him.
They've done everything.
Stuck him with pitchforks. They've shot him. Stabbed him. Spit at him. Kicked him in the nuts. Everything they have done. Grabbed his mask. And he's still alive. And, you know, about 20 minutes in, I did not know this. My good friend Lenny Clark, who's a great comedian from Boston. You guys know who he is.
Was he the one here on the show?
No, but he's with Steve Sweeney. But Steve Sweeney, they were together many movies. Lenny's lost like 200 pounds. He's skinny like you are now.
Yeah.
And I did not know he was in it. And I'm watching the scene as he gets, is just in his house with his wife. And Michael Myers, pretty early in the movie, breaks in, takes my friend Lenny's head. After a couple of funny lines. Now, mind you, I am laughing the whole time I'm watching this scene. And it's a horrible, gruesome scene. The whole movie was full of blood, unlike the original Halloween.
Yeah.
And I'm watching my good friend Lenny Clark get his head smashed into glass and boom, like a like horrible way to die. Stabbed, dragged out, bled to death, everything. And I'm texting him on Facebook. I'm texting him on his private number and everything else. I'm like, I didn't know you were in this. What had you on to promote? I had no idea. Anyway, that aside, that was the best part of the movie for me.
Yeah.
The movie sucked. And I don't care if I'm giving out a spoiler alert. I don't care because I want to save you people from poisoning yourself, our listeners. Do not go see this movie. The son of a gun lives again. He's still alive. Jamie Lee Curtis.
Spoiler alert.
But he kills at the end. They have him surrounded. When I mean surrounded in a person's yard around the street, Craig, 20 people, firemen, policemen, neighbors, bats, guns, knives, hoses. Although the firemen trying to hose them to stop him.
That's funny.
But he pulls like Mr. Miyagi in the original Karate Kid when all the kids are attacking Daniel. It was like that. all of a sudden, or you like, you know, when the Emperor in Revenge of the Sith kills all the Jedis in like 2 seconds with really limited moves?
Yes.
That's what this was like. Really? He killed like 18 people at the end of the movie in like 2 seconds. And he's standing again. Everybody's dead. I mean, gruesome, gruesome deaths. It is. It's a bloodbath of a movie. And I'm laughing the whole time. I'm like, son, this is right after he gets stabbed with another pitchfork. And I'm like, pick it up and stab it on his neck and keep.
Right, of course.
Die. But obviously, they think they're going to make another one.
And did the Jamie only one, Lee Curtis make
she's
it?
She's the only one that lived. She was in the hospital for most of the movie, so recovering from a stab wound.
Gosh.
She'll be in the next one.
It was unbelievable.
Wow.
I couldn't believe it. Do not go see this movie. You know, it's the same old crap, except with an incredibly unrealistic ending, as if the other ones were realistic.
I was thinking about watching this. I was thinking about reminiscing.
If you can get it for free on Peacock, watch it. But it is, and they have, oh, and Anthony Michael Hall, yes, from Breakfast Club, that guy.
Yeah, he's in it?
Yeah, he's in it till the very end. Right. And he gets, oh, he dies horribly. He was the one leading the charge. He was a police officer. Now, he was in the original, he was the boy that Jamie Lee Curtis was babysitting that lived. That kind of, you know, because he was Jamie Lee Curtis. You protected me, you know, 40 years ago. I'm going to protect you now. Somebody protect me from these movies.
You don't have to watch them.
I hadn't watched the other two previously. I watched Halloween 1 and 2. Halloween 3, Season of the Witch, had nothing to do with the first two.
I made it through three, and I haven't
watched one since. But I felt, you know, I was like, I got an hour and 45 minutes. Let me see. Let me just see. It's free.
A lot of texting. People are still
Tommy
watch
Doyle.
It.
Yes, little Tommy Doyle. That's the Breakfast Club kid.
Pittsburgh John says, after the scathing review, I'm afraid to ask Pete if he's seen the new 007.
No, that's going to be. I know that's going to be awesome. I haven't. I will see that. I have no doubt that that is going to be spectacular. And that's one movie that I'll actually see in the movie theater.
They've kind of spoiled it for you already, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
No Time to Die?
Well, yeah. I mean,
it kind of leads me to think he doesn't die.
Yeah.
Okay.
Next.
Well, there's going to be a new James Bond. He's done.
He's done.
So whether he either goes off quietly in retirement or he dies at the very end, like M did in Skyfall.
I don't like old James Bond. I want them to cast somebody younger and have a young James Bond.
How about
that's what I want?
How about an African American James Bond?
I don't care.
How about
what
a female
James Bond? Look, I know it was a big deal when we had a blonde haired James Bond with Daniel Craig. He was the first one that didn't have the brown hair and brown eyes.
More sand, but he fit the role perfect. I thought.
He's ideal.
You can't have a female James Bond character. Sorry, it's not.
Why
it's
not?
Because it's not in the book. Because it wasn't written that way. In the story.
James.
In the story, not Jane.
How about Jane Bond?
No.
I want to see a hot Jane Bond.
No.
Then start another series or write some more books. Now this is about a male.
Where's Ian
spy.
Fleming? Is he dead? Is Ian Fleming dead?
Albert R. Broccoli is, but his wife is still
who's
alive.
The,
who saw the movies?
Who's the Who's the black British actor? He's the all-seer. What's his name in Thor? He's got the big sword. Mm-hmm. Ira. What's his name?
He's too big.
Well, he's Captain America.
Yeah,
dude.
But he puts on a suit. No, not Captain America, dude. He puts on a suit and he cleans up. Like, he was an attorney in Molly's Game, the movie about the underground poker.
Oh, yeah, it's a great movie.
Phenomenal
great
movie. He would be a good James Bond. I'd be fine with that if they want to go black James Bond. I'm cool with that. It doesn't matter to me. He can't go girl, though.
No, you can't. You cannot.
Can't go girl.
No.
It's got to stay British.
Right. No. No, because you know what will happen, even though James Bond sleeps with a whole bunch of women all the time, but they never really show him. Never really shown it. There's no nudity ever in his movies.
No.
Idris Elba. I'm not saying that right. I don't know how to say his name, but he's a phenomenal actor.
But they have a Jane Bond go out there and having to use her spy skills like Mata Hari and start sleeping with a whole bunch of men. Some group will complain that, you're portraying, she's a slut. And I'm like, no, she's doing her job, but she's a spy, just like James Bond is doing his job as a spy. You get to them, you know.
But just moved here, guy says, did hell freeze over? Pete said a movie sucked. I know.
True.
This is twice now.
The Sopranos prequel sucked, and this sucked worse.
Oh, what, your little Squid Games thing?
Yes.
About episode four? British officials are recommending that people in Britain don't let your children watch it.
Oh, no, absolutely not.
Yeah, right.
No, absolutely not.
Yeah.
Now, by children, I mean if you're over 13, 14, 15, I guess. But no, there's no way any... Yeah, I'm scared. I have to watch it in the day. I can't watch it at night.
Why does the government feel the need to put that out? Like, I don't think any parent is going to look at that and go, maybe because it's got games in the title.
Maybe they don't know. Parents don't pay attention. Parents.
Hey,
they suck.
That's just it. And what I told you the story about back in Jurassic Park, the third one. You know, these movies are PG-13 for a reason. You bring in three-year-olds in there, and then they watch, get decapitated and eaten alive. And I'm like, well, what did you think was going to happen? It's going to be like, the Flintstones, like Dino or Barney?
Yeah. Tiz is right. Yeah. No, Tiz, I'm not suggesting Ving Rhames be 007. I just said African American actor. That's all. I was very general in my suggestion.
Marilyn, Mike, we'll agree to disagree. I thought the Sopranos prequel. So I thought Little Gandolfini was good as his father. I thought he was really good, and I thought the woman who played his mother, Olivia, was very good. I just think it was disjointed. It was too short. They could have probably – I was surprised that David Chase didn't do a better job. Make it 3 hours, even 3.5 hours. But it was too disjointed for me. And I didn't enjoy it. But to each his own.
All right. Now, you reminded me of another problem I may be having because you mentioned this all – we said on Xfinity. So, as you know, I have Xfinity like you do. Yep. And we have switched everything over in our house, the internet, even our cell phones are tied to it. We're good to go. Happy with the service.
Oh, wow. You went on the cell plan, too.
My wife did.
I've been curious about that.
Yeah. Oh, we shaved about $100 off of our family plan every month.
Way
good.
To go.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, we're going to be doing that ourselves.
So it's getting to be late in the year, and I got this envelope from my HOA. So I open it up, and it's the budget for 2022.
Oh, no.
Apparently, and I've noticed some fine print, in order to save money, our HOA, we're dropping Xfinity in the HOA because I get my cable free through the HOA.
Yeah.
We're going to Summit Cable.
And you can't do anything about it either.
I don't know. I don't know how this affects everything. My cell phone and internet. Now, it is going to be fiber optic. I know somebody that has Summit. I don't think they were too thrilled with it back in the day. So I gotta dive into this.
My dad has Summit.
It was my dad that had Summit, and I know he has problems all day long.
And usually in the community and gated communities like we live in, you don't have an option. Now, we're lucky in our place that we have Xfinity. It's bundled into our – we get free basic like you do, and plus I have all the sports packages and all that stuff. But I don't think you have an option, Craig.
No, I don't.
No.
My only option is to go get a satellite dish and hide it in my backyard. And
I would advise not doing that.
Why?
Because it's not allowed.
It rains a lot in the summer.
Yeah, good call, Chris.
You're going to lose your pick. Like, you know that problem we have every afternoon from about June 15th through September, end of September?
Yes.
That will be your life. And on a football Sunday or Saturday, that would get pretty annoying.
You're right.
Not as bad as going out, which I had before DirecTV came out. I had another satellite dish way back when they first came out, when they first started to get smaller, but just at least forget rain, just any type of snow, forget it. You have to go out there with a stupid broom,
get snow,
hopefully
on the dish.
Reach it, not fall down, fall off a roof.
See, I've never lived anywhere where I had a dish where it snowed. Like back when I lived in Indiana and Michigan, we didn't have dishes back then, but anywhere else I've lived, it's been warm and deep south.
Kathleen says they have Summit, she hates it.
It's not good news. Yeah, through your HOA. Well,
then Wizard of Oz says it's way better than it was 10 or 15 years ago.
Well, see, now, Wizard of Oz, good point, because they said it's going to be I guess they're going to put in fiber optics into there. So fiber optic is pretty good.
I had fiber optic through a different cable provider here locally.
Yeah.
I switched to Xfinity.
You had problems with it?
Didn't have problems with it. It just... For the amount, from my understanding, it really makes a big difference in the internet that you have in the house.
Well, that's big for us.
Same for me. I think it's
in a good way or bad way.
Good way.
My house, we don't use enough. We didn't use it enough.
We crunch it at our house
to see a difference.
Yeah,
we do it at our house.
My
too.
Wife,
like
and
I don't,
me,
I don't stream video games. Like really, the only things hooked up to my Wi-Fi at the house are my phone and my wife's phone, and then two TVs that are just have apps on them.
The other great thing about Xfinity, because I do their spots and everything. But the best thing is it automatically goes to your phone, Xfinity hotspots, no matter where you are.
Right.
So even if some restaurants or some places that are really hard.
And you're logged in all the time.
You're logged in all the time. And it's a very powerful app right there. So, and you can get, in my house, I can watch on my laptop and on my phone, anything that's on my cable, and I can record anything at any time from anywhere.
Yeah. All right, well, I'll keep you posted on my situation.
Yeah, that's a problem.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
That is a problem for you. It's
anyway.
Yeah, no, it really doesn't affect me at all.
No, thanks.
Like,
thanks for your support.
I'm just the same now as I was 5 minutes ago.
Just trying to get a little sympathy out there. Maybe somebody can have a positive. I'm looking for a positive endorsement out there. Hey, Craig, you're going to be all right. It's a great great service. Day late, darling short. Sounds like your HOA is mandating your cable option.
Why don't you have an option? It's like you don't have a primary care position.
Yeah,
get pick your own.
Oh, that's another thing. My doctor's
Xfinity had that too.
No, my doctor's going private. Like, in order to stay with him, he's going from 3,000 patients to 300, and he's charging you $3,500 annually just to be with it. So he's gonna make $1.5 million just on that.
Great business model.
For him, sucks for me because I'm not paying it. You tell me for four members of my family, I got to do $14,000 just as a retainer?
Oh, that's a per person.
$3,500 per person per year.
Not per household.
No.
Wow.
No. And that's in addition to what you pay for health insurance and all
that
nonsense.
Yeah, and all that stuff.
Sorry, supply and demand, I'm out.
At-home visits?
I don't know.
Be better.
Well, I guess. Yeah, house call. Do doctors do house calls anymore?
Sure.
From the old-timey days?
Yeah. Mm.
Show up with their little lunchbox of medicine.
Exactly. Yeah. They got that little thing that they poke your kneecap
You
know, reflex tester.
Yeah.
I don't know the official name for it, but that's what I'm going to call it.
Okay.
The hammer.
You know, that reminds me of, speaking of useless information, on Hulu, you know, they have all the Brady Bunch episodes, right?
Yeah.
Almost all of them.
Yeah.
Five seasons. They don't have the measles, which Marion Ross is one. Remember Dr. Porter?
Yeah.
It's just one of the first, before Happy Days.
Yeah.
They don't, and I Googled it. I say, why is the episode, there's a few of them on there, the five seasons, like three missing, and they're all like health related. They don't put I think it's one of the funnier ones, when all the kids get the measles and they're making, you know, they don't have that on there. And they don't have the one where Bobby gets kissed by Melissa Sue Anderson from Little House on the Prairie, because she had the mumps. She might have had the mumps. Mm. Because of some, CBS denied them permission to do it because of, like, it was a health issue, and they were afraid of being sued by, I can't remember what it was. But imagine how stupid some of these rules are. They got all these other, every other episode, but they won't show the episode with the measles, and they won't show the episode where Bobby gets kissed and may have the mumps because of some possibility of a loss of measles.
It's like the one Seinfeld episode they won't show in syndication.
The Puerto Rican one. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
Netflix employees are staging a walkout today in protest of Netflix airing the Dave Chappelle special.
Yeah. Has the PC crowd finally caught up to Dave Chappelle?
They have, yeah. And then last week, or maybe it was Monday of this week.
I thought he was immune from that.
Maybe it was Monday of this week, but the CEO of Netflix came out and was like, we're not pulling Dave Chappelle.
No, nor should they.
Paid him $10 million.
If you're offended,
nor should they.
You don't have to watch.
How can anybody and Netflix
employees are not happy.
Really?
Yeah.
How can anybody on any platform be offended when you listen to or go to a comedy show? I am so
I don't
sick
know
and
how
tired.
Comedians do it anymore.
I don't either. I really don't. I don't either. I don't get it. And they put up with so much crap, and most of them are so incredibly talented. I love Dave Chappelle for what he's doing. Screw him. Love it. Love it. Keep doing what you're doing. I'll keep watching.
All right. We have covered virtually no sports except for the strike zone in last night's game.
Slow day.
We'll get there. As you know, hurricane season is winding down, but that does not mean let your guard down, people. You got to take care of not only your homeowner's insurance, your cars, your boats, your toys, your flood insurance. Got to package it all together. You know, bundle and save, as they say. And call my friend Damon Brist at Damon Brist Farmers Insurance. Don't let anything slide. You know, we're getting to the end of the year. It's a good time to kind of check up on all your policies and make sure you are good to go. Damon Brist, Farmers Insurance, one of the fastest growing agents in the country, and a local guy right here in Southwest Florida. He knows what you're going through. And a local guy you can just pick up the phone and call and talk to or go visit. But in the meantime, make sure you're ready for the rest of hurricane season and then beyond as we get closer to 2022. Call Damon Brist, Farmers Insurance, 239-202-2933, 239-202-2933, Damon Brist, Farmers Insurance. Have you switched yet?
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
I'm Craig Sheeman along with Pete Shepard, Sheeman and Shepard on ESPN Southwest Florida. Chris on the other side of the glass. Thanks for being with us here today. Saturday, we're going to Ames, Iowa. Well, we're not stationed. We got Oklahoma State and Iowa State. Coverage starts at 3 o'clock. College football brought to you by Backstreet's Bar in Cape Coral and Diamonds by Diane. College football news, by the way. We told you, Nick Rolovich, the former head coach of Washington State, is going to be suing the school. He was let go because he did not have proof of a vaccine by the date stated. I see six schools have now applied for the AAC, Florida Atlantic, Charlotte, North Texas, UTSA, Rice, and UAB. That's, of course, Cincinnati, UCF, and Houston all are leaving that conference to go to the Big 12. We'll have John Meter Perel on to talk some ACC football in less than an hour. And I see we've gone from Jimbo Fisher having to deny his interest in the LSU job to now Dabo Swinney denying it, saying, I got my own Death Valley.
That kind of came out yesterday, too. Of course they're going to say it, and I don't blame them. And I think the rumors of Ed Orgeron going to ESPN College Game Day is going to happen. I think that's absolutely what's going to happen in some capacity.
Should he replace Lee Corso?
Maybe.
Or will he be
I think this will be Lee's last year, but he'll be at ESPN, SEC Network, some capacity. I think he'd be good for it.
I think
he's
that'd be good.
Guy. Yeah. Yep.
But you know it's only going to be a one-year deal because then he's going to try and coach somewhere else after that. That's how it usually works.
Yeah. He's in his 60s, right?
Yeah.
He may not. Maybe he liked broadcasting so much he might stay in it.
Pete Carroll was well into his 60s when he left USC to go to Seattle, and he's still kicking. He and Belichick, I think, are the oldest coaches in the league.
He didn't leave coaching, or he wasn't asked to leave his coaching position because he was inviting, like, girlfriends to practice and having their kids come out on the field to participate in some on-field drills. Like, that was not a good look for Ed O.
No, horrible.
Would that fly at a...
like, I'm not saying morally he did anything wrong, like shoot your shot, whatever, you're divorced.
You're right.
But as a coach...
That? Imagine Nick Saban doing that.
I can't imagine imagine Lane Kiffin doing that.
Yeah, and that's saying something. It's kind of disrespectful to you.
To your players, it's
I agree.
Really
disrespectful. Oh, did you hear what Bielma said?
Oh my gosh.
I have that. We can play that.
We need to play that.
Oh, my God.
I could not believe.
Ripping every O-lineman he inherited.
The whole team.
He emphasized he doesn't have anybody on the two deeps on the O-line.
You hear the whole thing because you're right. Mostly O-line, but good God.
He said, you look at the 10 offensive lineman positions, the starters and the backups. I don't think we have anybody on this roster that's good enough. What?
It's a couple of 18, 19, and 20-year-old kids.
Now, keep in mind.
Kids that he didn't even recruit.
No. Keep in mind, this is O-line and smash mouth running. That's his forte. He likes those beefy O-linemen.
No, I know.
They don't meet his standards from what he inherited from, was it Lovey?
Lovey.
These guys?
Well, Craig, I know that. I know. You know that. A lot of people know that. You don't say it as the head coach.
You don't.
You don't put kids on blast like
that.
I heard it.
I got it right here.
Yeah.
In case you haven't heard of this, again, it's like, you know, line night football, who cares? But, I mean, this guy is a well-known coach. You do not do this. This is horrible. Here's Brett Bielema yesterday.
I just know this. As a head coach, you're only as good as your roster, right? I kind of learned that the first time I went to the Kentucky Derby, right? Nobody was betting on the jockeys. Everybody was betting on the horses, right? So, to win the Derby, you got to have the right horse, and I think our players are going to be a reflection of what our program stands for. I stood at the front of the room last year when I took over and said everybody is invited back because of COVID. They gave me the opportunity to do that, but as this roster continues to transition, I've got to make tough decisions. Players have to make decisions. And you know, the roster is going to have to change to get to where we want to be to win the championship. So I recognize that probably midway through the spring last year, through the summer, just certain positions haven't maybe played out the way they envisioned them to. In particular, the offensive line, I don't believe we have a player in the two deep that they've recruited here over the last 3 years that is really significantly doing anything for us in the playing department. And that's a major concern, right? So that's something that we have to do. Top two quarterbacks that have played to this point are both transfers, right? So there hasn't been any development at that position that is significantly playing right now. Isaiah was that guy, but he's obviously playing a wide receiver position in Deuce. So defensively, we knew there was going to be an evolution just kind of on the style of defense that we played. We got to definitely get a lot of bigger bodies, I believe, up front to get what we want to get done to play in this league at a consistent level. So there's things that we're definitely evolving every day. And as a head coach, I think I have to prioritize my recruiting.
All right. I just punched up the first – they beat Illinois first game of the season. They beat Nebraska, 30-22.
Yeah.
I remember Brandon Peters left the game holding his left, not throwing shoulder, was sacked hard near the end of the first quarter.
Yeah.
And then Arthur Stokowski came in, sophomore transfer from Rutgers, and did pretty well. He engineered several long scoring drives using a balanced attack under Bielma's new system. He was 12 of 15 for 124 yards and 2 touchdowns. Peters, before he left, was 3 of 4 for 35 yards. So, despite the two transfer quarterback, here was his quote back after week one. Can't say enough about Art, Bielma said of his backup quarterback. You know, from day one, you just mentioned day one. Remember day one, there was no development? From day one, he just projected a serious, very direct kind of personality. He walks like a quarterback and he talks like a quarterback. When I see our players rallying around a quarterback like that, well, you know, you've got something. Now, he just said they had no development at quarterback after this. Funny how that happens, you know, with after you win that game and then you lose. You lose your next, six in a row. You lose to Texas San Antonio, which we now know is a good team, 37-30. You get killed by Virginia, 42-14. You lose a squeaker to Maryland, 20-17. You lose to Purdue, 13-9. You beat Charlotte, 24-14. But you're lucky. And you just got shut out by Wisconsin.
That's a guy 24-0. Making $5 million a year. It says, don't put the blame on me. Blame these kids I inherited. And what about player development? Just a quarterback. Why don't you develop a couple of these O-linemen? You've had them for a year and a half.
He just said after game one, he was so proud of the two quarterbacks, whatever, and now they didn't miss a beat and this, that, and the other, and there was something special there, and then he just says now that there's no development. Well, guess what? You can watch the development, non-development action as you get crucified by 50 against Penn State this week at Happy Valley at noontime. They're going to get annihilated.
You know, it was bad enough. I know Dan Campbell received a little bit of criticism for calling out Jared Goff the way he does. People said, hey, you should do that behind the scenes. Okay, whatever. It's pro football. That's an adult. Whatever you want to do, that's fine. These are kids. You can't comment say your kids are worthless like this. You think these kids want to go through a wall now and go smash their heads for this coach?
Craig, how about possibility of future recruits? And you listen to that?
Yeah.
How does that go over?
You're only as good as your players.
I didn't know that was the case. Well, then why are we paying? Why are we paying the coaches $5 million a year?
Wow. Right, right. Why are we paying you, Brett?
And what is that? So I wonder if somebody asked. Well, you're only as good as your players. These 18, 19, and 20 year olds. Some 20. How do you correct that, coach? Yeah.
Coach them up.
I couldn't believe when I heard it, and I heard it after the show yesterday.
Especially him. I never thought he was like that because I heard him before the Nebraska game.
He's...
And that's why I switched my bet. I remember I had Shekels on. I had Nebraska, and I switched right before kickoff because I heard him on Big Ten Network make a really nice speech. I was like, you know what? This guy gets it. I think he's going to be good for the program.
Who's
going
to work out for that one day?
Penn State. They're going to lose a Penn State. I think they're going to get annihilated.
Oh, that's going to be crushing.
Bit of a look-ahead spot for Penn State, though. They got the bye on. No, they're coming off the bye, right? Yeah, they're coming off the bye. They haven't played since Iowa, and they have Ohio State on deck next weekend, I believe.
But what's the mental state going to be?
Maybe a little look-ahead spot, but I can't see these Illinois players going out there and
fighting.
Busting their ass for this dude.
And after the game, when they lose, you know, write to everybody and say, did you feel obligated to play your guts out for a coach that threw your entire team under the bus.
If you're like you guys said, if you're a professional, I think it's one thing.
Even that.
You don't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you could speak in generalities. That's like, you know, we've got to block better, we've got to coach better, we've got to do this better. You speak in generalities. But to throw a bunch of kids under the bus like that is absolutely. I wonder what. Talk about seeing emails. I'd love to see what the AD sent to him, because you can't do that.
And for a coach to say you're only as good as your players.
Yeah.
You think Bill Belichick would say that? I know Bill Belichick doesn't think that he wants the 53 most talented players. He wants the right 53.
Exactly.
Any coach worth a damn understands how to build out a roster. Mm. And you can't have all divas, and you can't have all five stars. You got to have the character guys on your team. Now they got to be able to play a little bit as well.
But when he says, I can't say enough about Art, the backup quarterback. You know, from day one, he just projected a serious, very direct kind of personality. He walks like a quarterback and he talks like a quarterback. And when I see our players rallying around a quarterback like that, well, you know you got something. Somebody throw that back in his face.
Yeah.
That's the first thing I would do. I would have looked at the quote up and said, but coach, you said this back in week one after your 8-point win over Nebraska, a game that many people didn't think he'd win.
Not good enough. Now he's losing.
Oh, man. Gotta
blame somebody.
That's terrible.
Adele is dating Rich Paul?
No.
Where does that come from?
Really? Yeah. Yeah.
Random thought. The agent, LeBron's agent?
Yeah. They went on a date last night to the Lakers game.
By the way, her pre-sales for her new album?
She looks fantastic.
Oh, she dropped 100 lbs. She's on a Craig Sheeman plan. She's lost more weight than I have.
But she looked pretty anyway.
She had a pretty face before.
Yeah, she sure did.
She was larger, but no, she looks fantastic now. No, sorry, I was just scrolling through and I saw headline, Adele and boyfriend Rich Paul look cozy courtside at NBA game.
I said two billionaires sitting next to each other. Wow, how about that?
She didn't sing the national anthem last
night,
did she?
I feel bad for Rich Paul.
Why?
He's going to have some songs written about him if this goes south.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, yeah.
Instead of hello, it'd be goodbye.
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 Set fire to the NBA agent.
That's funny.
Her still, one of the greatest Academy Award songs ever. When she did Skyfall, I still get goosebumps when she sings that. It's phenomenal.
So this is her first album drop like in 6 years or something like that. She just went through the divorce.
I'm so excited.
Yeah.
I love Adele.
Yeah.
No, I do too. Yeah,
Songbird.
Yeah, no doubt. Listen, people, if you run a commercial building here in Southwest Florida, if you own it or manage it or whatever the case may be, you've got those automatic doors, and they have to be inspected every year. The Adam Specs, that's what they're called. Call the Flying Locksmiths today. They're offering our listeners a free Adam inspection to any business that calls and uses the secret code word. It's Sheeman and Shepherd. You do that, you get $175 value at no cost. Call my friends right now, Jeff, Nick, Randy, and Daniel. They're ready to go. Get yourself scheduled for your Adam inspection there, all right? The Flying Locksmiths will take care of you. Some restrictions apply, but get yourself scheduled ASAP. Their website, flyinglocksmiths.com, flyinglocksmiths.com. You'll find their phone number there. I'm going to tell you here. Tell them I sent you, by the way. 239-790-6880, 239-790-6880. Remember the code when you call, Sheeman and Shepherd, for free automatic door inspection. Call the Flying Locksmiths now. The Flying Locksmiths, if it's on the door, we handle it.
Taking a cruise through all the sound.
But they're not going to rook us.
Don't you ever talk about me!
Who was talking about you?
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
I can say anything I want. That's the beauty of this country.
I'm not laughing about it. You think this is funny? I take this serious.
It's time for
Sound Street on Sheeman and Shepherd.
All right, Red Sox, Astros tied at 2 in the ninth inning, 2 outs, 2 strikes, Nathan Eovaldi on the mound, Jason Castro at the plate, Las Diaz, the home plate umpire, let her rip on FS1.
The breaking ball just missed, tried to backdoor the breaking ball. We talked about it earlier in the series. Eovaldi throws 5 pitches, at least 10% or more, and he throws all of them for strikes. Best strike throwers on the roster.
And then the Astros got 7 runs after that and won the game. Alex Cora downplaying the non-strike call to Castro.
Alex, you just had one pitch away. Did you think that was strike 3 at 1-2?
I got to take a look. Yeah. I mean, a lot of people thought it was a strike.
Do you think Nate was at all deflated by that or thrown off by that?
I mean, he was upset. Then he threw a fastball up, he followed it up, and then he threw a split, and you know, he was a little bit in front and put a good swing. You know, Castro has put good at-bats against us throughout the series, right? The home run and the walk against Witt early on, and today he you know, he stayed back on that one, and well, against Witt, he hits the line right to first, and then that one he battled and he got the base hit.
And here's Dusty Baker. He says that was a momentum shift in the ninth.
This is what, you know, enjoying baseball, you know, as if you're a child. And, you know, this is one of the great things about baseball. I mean, you know, when you're dead seemingly in the water and things aren't going good, then all of a sudden, boom, 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 and you got seven runs. And, you know, that's what they've been doing to us this whole series. And, you know, we're capable of doing that as well.
Like I said, the Red Sox were 0-for-9 last night with runners in scoring position. But when you have an umpire who is horrible on both sides, missed ball strikes, 23 of them last night. He's one of the worst-rated umpires in the league, Laz Diaz. 12 of them on pitchers thrown by Red Sox pitchers, 11 on Astro pitchers. They got screwed as well. I don't understand how somebody with that low of a rating gets to be in a game like this of this magnitude. I don't understand it. Rob Manfred, you got a lot of explaining to do, buddy.
Over in the National League, despite the fact that many fans had left Dodger Stadium, Dodgers do beat the Braves 6-5 to get back in the series, down 2-1. Cody Bellinger, an off year this year, but a big swing last night, game-tying 3-run home run. This is on AM 570 LA Sports.
Steiner!
Jackson, his 18th pitch of the inning. 1-2. Got a pitch to Bellinger. And a fly ball to right center field. It's well hit, and it is gone! A 3-run home run for Bellinger. We've got a new game. It's tied at 5 on a 1-2 pitch. Bellinger hits it out.
Looked like a wiffle ball tomahawk job. When I saw that, that was amazing. That was Guerrero would have been proud of that one.
Here's Dave Roberts. He says Cody's home run turned the tides.
It was a big hit, obviously. To tie the game up, but then to have another base runner out there and to build on that momentum and take the lead and not let the kind of the momentum that we created subside and make it a new ball game. They certainly had a lot of arms left in the pen, so to take the lead and get it to our closer was huge. And, you know, the fans all night, you know, we fed off that energy. It was as loud as I've heard Dodger Stadium after that homer, and they were loud and energetic all day long.
And Mookie Betts, I thought maybe they want to walk him. Yeah, because you knew that hit was coming if it was anywhere near the plate.
Here's Brian Snicker of the Braves. He says, we'll be okay.
We feel good. We're confident. We're, you know, I think our guys, like I said earlier in the day, our guys every year are getting more and more battle tested. And you know, we played a really good game out there today. Like I said, a lot of really good things happened, and we didn't get one pitch back. But I think the guys have a lot of confidence in themselves, and you know, they'll get a good night's sleep, have a nice dinner, and be ready to go tomorrow. And I don't, there won't be no residual effects. I don't after this game here, like there never has been with this group. I don't feel. Like I said, even going through it last year when we had a 3-1 lead, we just found out how tough it is to win a game.
All right, the Astros and Red Sox at 5:08 today. Game 5, Braves, Dodgers. Game 4, 8:08 p.m. tonight. NFL Hall of Famer and legendary Chicago Bears coach Mike Ditka wants you to join him this Friday right here in town for an unforgettable night at the Hilton Naples, the first annual Gridiron Gala presented by Life in Naples. You can hang out with Coach Ditka during the cocktail reception presented by My Capital. They got live entertainment. By the way, I'm emceeing this event, so bonus, get to see me too. A world-class meal and wine and bid on a once-in-a-lifetime auction package that are available while you help Coach Ditka support grants for retired NFL players who have been struck with financial need and medical expenses. These are the older guys that before the game was so financially lucrative, and they're hurting financially and medically speaking, and it's just a hand up. You can buy your tickets for the event. Learn more about it at gridirongreatsnaples.org. That's gridirongreatsnaples.org. Coming up, John Meter Perel at the bottom of next hour. I'll talk some ACC football with him. We got a lot to do. Stay with us. It's Sheeman and Shepherd on ESPN Southwest Florida.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.